remember exactly how many people present today were here on the occasion that I'm about to speak of, but when I was first liberated and began to visit Primitive Baptist churches, I remember coming to Piney Grove very early. At that time, I was invited here to, right after I was liberated, I was invited here to speak. And I was impressed at that time to speak on the shepherd. And I'm impressed to speak on the shepherd today. I don't know how many times I've been here in the interim, but it's not that many because of the route that my ministry has taken. I've been busy other places and obligations other places. But it's good to be back here. Good to have the opportunity to visit among you again. And I do beg an interest in your prayers as I try to say a few words about the Good Shepherd. And certainly I feel like at this season of the year it is appropriate to meditate on some of these thoughts regarding our Great Shepherd. In the scriptures, we find him prophetically mentioned. I believe that we find him mentioned in type even as far back as the Garden of Eden. When Adam disobeyed the commandment of God and plunged himself and all his posterity into a state of death, one of the things that Adam realized immediately was that he had lost a degree of fellowship with God. And as he stood before God, he was naked. He had no way of covering his nakedness other than the works of his own hands. And he and Eve made themselves aprons of fig leaves. And if you think about that for any length of time, I don't think that that's a very adequate covering at all. If you've ever felt of a fig leaf, it wouldn't be very comfortable against your naked skin. It's kind of like a nettle, if I remember correctly. Fig leaves have that prickly feeling to your skin. And to sew something that flimsy together and expect it to be much of a covering for very long, it just fails. And it represents the works of their own hands. We probably don't emphasize that enough, that it's not by works of righteousness that we're saved or that our nakedness can be covered before God. But it's we need a covering provided that is better than any covering that we could come up with on our own. So what did the Lord do? He slew animals and made them coats of skins. And I believe that the animals slain were most likely sheep. They were most likely sheepskins that Adam and Eve were covered with. Now, the scripture doesn't spell that out distinctly, but based on all the other things we read about the death of our great shepherd and the fact that he shed his blood to cover our sins and to pay the price of our sins and to redeem us from all unrighteousness. That's just a thought that I have, that those were sheepskins that the Lord provided the coats for Adam and Eve that covered their nakedness. Right. As we stand before God in all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I try to quote that distinctly when I quote it because it doesn't say all our righteousness is as a filthy rag, because our righteousness is in the Son of God. And that is definitely not a filthy rag. If we have any righteousness, it's wonderful that he paid to make us righteous in him. But all our righteousnesses, like the works of Adam and Eve's hands to sow fig leaves together. That was the works of their hands, emblematic of our righteousnesses. Our righteousnesses are our efforts to make ourselves look better in the sight of God. And none of those things, like the hymn says, could my zeal no longer know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone, thou must save and thou alone. So our righteousness is in him. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. And if we're going to try to work our way to heaven, it's like taking a truckload of filthy rags down to the bank and expect to pay your debts. In man's world, it won't work. How much less will it work at the throne of God to show up with filthy rags and say, here's my payment, this nasty stuff that I've come up with on my own. We find that Adam and Eve having sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was a tiller of the ground and Abel was a keeper of sheep. And when they came to the Lord to make sacrifices, to express their worship towards God, Cain and his offering, the Bible says that unto Cain and his offering, the Lord had not respect. But to the keeper of sheep, emblematic of the great shepherd, the Lord had respect to Abel and to his offering. He had respect to the individual before he had respect to the offering that he brought. And what offering did he bring? Cain's offering was something later that the Lord would approve under the law, was bringing in of things that were grown from the earth. You know, there was the wave offering. There was the offering of the first fruits of the ground that God approved of. So it was not just the fact that these things were grown in the earth that made them unacceptable, because later the Lord would approve and give commandment in his service to bring things that were grown in the earth. But at this time, it was a case that the Lord just did not have respect to the person of Cain, and his attitude was wrong and his reasoning was wrong because he was wrong. He was just not approved of God as Abel was. And I think those things are emblematic types and shadows of the one to come that we need to consider, that there are individuals today that God has no approval of because he has no respect to their person. The same Bible that says God is no respecter of persons says that he is. He does respect his children. He does honor his children that are covered by the blood of Christ. He has respect to them. God has respect to them because of what his son has done on their behalf. And Abel was approved of God even before his sacrifice was made, which required the shedding of blood and the death of a lamb, which points us into the future. We find all through the scriptures and in the Old Testament that so many of God's people were keepers of sheep. They were shepherds. That was how so many made their living. You remember the story of Abraham and Lot. Abraham had shepherds and Lot had people under him and his household that were keepers of sheep. But they began to strive together. Abraham's shepherds and Lot's shepherds began to argue over the best pastures and the best watering places. And if you research very much about the keeping of sheep, if you read such books as A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, which is, I can recommend that book as a view of a shepherd's attitude toward the sheep and how sheep behave, it will open up your understanding of the 23rd Psalm and the some of the characteristics of sheep. But sheep don't like to water where the water is very swift. David says, "Thou leadest me beside the still waters," because sheep prefer to drink still water. There's a lot of work in being a shepherd, and one of their works was to divert rushing, noisy streams off into a quiet place. They would take implements and dig trenches so the water would come apart from a noisy place into a quiet place that would not disturb the sheep. Well, I'm sure there was disturbance when Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen were arguing. And Abraham, being a man of God, he says, "This is not good for our for this strife to be among us. You know, we're relatives, we're kinsmen, and it's not a good thing that this bickering is going on." So Abraham told his nephew Lot, "If you'll take the left hand and go your way, then I'll take the right hand. And if you take the right hand, I'll take the left hand." What a godly attitude on the part of Abraham. I'm willing to sacrifice and just let you have your way as long as it results in peace between us. And how much trouble would that have saved in God's kingdom and in the house of God down through the years if people had that attitude when there was a disturbance among brethren? Let's just agree to disagree peaceably. And if you take the right hand, I'll take the left, and so forth. Abraham demonstrated faith in God that whatever Lot chooses, God will take care of me. And Lot lifted up his eyes. You know the story that Lot looked toward the well-watered plains and ended up pitching his tent toward Sodom. And next thing you know, he's sitting in the gates of Sodom, and that meant that he was probably on the board of directors or the town council, so to speak. He was sitting in a place where the men of the city would gather and discuss matters of government and things like that. Lot was deeply involved in the goings-on of that city and had become very worldly based on a situation of his own creation by looking toward the goods of this perishable and timely world. Lot was looking at the outward appearance. Abraham was looking at his faith in God to take care of him and provide what he needed. We come to away from that situation, those keepers of sheep, and the choice that Abraham made just for the sake of peace. You know that Abraham was blessed in that, and Lot came to a bad end, and his offspring ended up being a great burden to the people of Israel later on, and enemies, just because of that choice that Lot made. We find the parable of the Good Samaritan, and how the Good Samaritan came where the man was that fell among thieves and was left half dead. And the Good Samaritan came where he was and poured oil and wine into his wounds. The 23rd Psalm says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Medicinally, oil was used by shepherds to doctor their wounds. Sheep get a lot of different kinds of problems, but a good shepherd is always on guard and watching for those things. And he carries certain remedies with him. He has certain knowledge that he carries in his head for the benefit of the sheep. And how wise is God when it comes to doctoring our wounds and seeing to our needs, watering us in beside the still waters, not a place of raucous distractions, but a place of peace and quiet and solitude. You know, God's servants are referred to as fishers of men, and I never have liked to try to fish in a place that ski boats and jet skis were churning up like a washing machine. I've been up to Lake Eufaula in a small boat when we were just about capsized, trying to fish with people just coming and going and celebrating whatever the day was. I don't like fishing it in that environment. I want to get off to beside the still waters where everything is calm and peaceful. And that's the way I like to worship in the house of God. I don't want a bunch of disturbance going on, because the sheep don't receive the food. They lie down in green pastures, according to Psalm 23. And when you see sheep content enough to lie down, well, they may not be content. They can lie down because they're sick. They can lie down because they're not well. But if they're well fed and they're not sick, and you see them lying down, you know their stomach's full and they're content. If they're lying down in a green pasture, you know, they've just had all they can hold. And I like to see the Lord's people at peace to that extent, that they're just so full of the blessings of God that only the great shepherd can provide. When the announcement was made to the shepherds abiding with their flocks in the fields by night, I will notice and recommend that you notice that these announcements were made to shepherds. The Lord saw fit to send an angelic host to make this announcement, not to some government officials, not to some big meeting of the elite of this world, but lowly shepherds out abiding with their flocks by night received this announcement that the great shepherd was born that day in the city of Bethlehem. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, the shepherds, as the angels departed, they went and found things exactly as they were told. It's just like the Lord to disdain the nations and their rulers and their leaders. He didn't go to the king, Herod, and announce to him that the Prince of Peace was born. He went to shepherds abiding with their flocks in the field. And then we read where David said in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a wonderful blessing to know the true shepherd, which the Bible refers to him as the good shepherd. You know, a man could be good and not be able to help you. He might be willing to help you and not have the power to help you. But not only is Jesus the good shepherd and has a desire to bless us and help us, he's also the great shepherd. And the great shepherd has the power to follow up on his desires to help you. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, or everlasting life, and they shall never perish. And not only that, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Not only is he the good shepherd and the great shepherd with the power to bring these things to pass, but he's referred to as the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. He watches for our well-being, guards our soul, brings peace to our soul and our mind. And while we walk daily through mixtures of joy and sorrow, as the song says, mixtures of joy and sorrow, I daily do pass through. Sometimes I'm in the valley and sinking down with woe. Sometimes I am exalted on eagle's wings, I fly. I soar above my troubles and hope to reach the sky. That's because the shepherd and bishop of our souls, he walks with us in the valley. He walks with us on the mountaintops. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up on wings as eagles. And while we're the sheep of his pasture, when we seek his face and we seek to please him, our strength is renewed. These prayer requests that we hear, it reminds us that we're in a low ground of sin and sorrow with problems and losses of loved ones and sickness and things of that nature. But sometimes there's praise reports about people that are rejoicing. They're lifted up because of the great and good shepherd, the bishop and shepherd of their souls, is watching after them like he watched after David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It doesn't mean you won't ever have any desires, but you won't do without the things that are required for you to make it through. And then the Lord will shepherd you into the fold where there's only one shepherd. There's no disturbance ever there. What a blessed thought that is. So thank God that he was born, and he was born. One other thought about those swaddling clothes. You know, the source of all wisdom and knowledge, Google, says that swaddling clothes may have been the wrappings that people, as they traveled, would carry with them, not only for swaddling a baby or wrapping up a baby for his warmth, but those things could be used if someone died on a journey. They could wrap them up like a mummy with spices and get them somewhere appropriate to bury them. Even in his birth, there was something associated with that birth that pointed to the death. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, those things were some of those spices that when people died, those things were used to tend to their body respectfully. So even in his birth, it pointed to the purpose that he came into the world, to die for his sheep. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. No greater love hath a man than that he would lay down his life for his friends. Let's meditate on those things as we think about our good, great shepherd. Thank you for your sweet attention.